It's good to here we are again. Hey, we got a whole day of this. Isn't this wonderful? I just so appreciate Pastor Jack having these conferences like this. And there is such a necessity for the body of Christ. Amen. And I appreciate this particular conference for the fivefold ministry. I believe that we need more conferences of this nature, just explaining the various gifts that God's given to the body, you know, be it a fivefold ministry or the, as I believe it was Pastor Jim or Pastor Jack this morning was touching on the motivational gifts of the body of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit as well. I mean, you got 20 gifts that God's given to the body of Christ, and most of the church world doesn't have a clue about any of the gifts. I mean, maybe a couple of them that we touch on that the body of Christ really takes advantage of, but for the most part, there's a lot left out in dealing with the gifts that God's given to the church. I believe that as the church is operating in their gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry gifts, and the motivational gifts, that as we are operating in them, there is no need. There is no need. That's not met. There's when you look at the gifts and you compare it with the needs of people, the gifts meet the needs. Amen. And I believe that this is a challenge for the body of Christ to move to a new place in our gifts. And I see it here, and I mean just with Grace Ministry ministries and other ministries that are like ours really exemplify that in these last days, that we're moving into some places. You know, we're going where no man has gone before. Amen. Well, Jesus went there. Amen. But I mean, he's taken the body to some wonderful places in dealing with the gifts that he has given to the church and operating in these, and not just the clergy, so to speak, but the body as a whole, coming together, working together. Amen. And partnering with the gospel. What's good to be here today? Are you glad you're here today? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Had some lunch and you're back for more. Amen. Hallelujah. Refueled and refired. And we're excited to be here with you, and excited to be able to impart something into your lives, impart some wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from God's Word, from the various areas of ministry that we have and that God's placed us in, placed us over. Amen. If we can accomplish our ministry apart from faith and apart from the wisdom of God, then we'd probably want to reconsider its origin. Amen. There's a necessity to understand the link and the connection of faith as it is connected with our various areas of ministry. Whatever we're doing has to be by faith, or it's not going to produce the desired results. I was our church in Georgia, when I pastored in Georgia a number of years ago, we hosted a Bible school there for a local seminary. And they were using our location as a satellite, you know, and we lived just really to house it. And when they came in, I struck up a conversation with one of the guys that was a student in that very, you know, particular class that they were taking. And I always like to find out from people, what led you in to becoming interested in ministry, and how did God call you? I love to find out how people got saved and how God called them, and and where they're directed to go and just how God worked there and orchestrated things. And so I struck up a conversation with this gentleman, and as we talked, he said, I said, how'd God call you? How'd that come about? And he said, and he looked at me puzzled. And so I repeated myself. I thought maybe he didn't understand my question. I said, how did God direct you into your call and into ministry? He said, looked at me puzzled again. He said, I've never really thought of it like that. He said, I thought it would just be a good vocation. And I said, man, I feel sorry for this fella, especially when the battles come. Because where do you go? You can't go in faith because you don't know that God even called you to it. You know? So that's a must. And we've got some, you know, just people that out there in the church world that they don't even have a clue as to why they're in ministry. It's just a good vocation. But I am so thankful to be among folks that they've got a heart call from God, that God has directed them. And I believe that there's some of you out there today that God's put a call on your life as well, and God's directed you, and that's a must. But today, I'm dealing with the office of the evangelist. And God wants us to move in every area that we feel called to. And I believe this, that you're either called to ministry or you are called to serve someone that's called to ministry. And in many cases, in our cases, both, you know. You know, I'm called to serve someone in ministry. I'm also called to ministry. So I believe that connects the functioning of everybody in the church. And as we're either serving in ministry or serving somebody who's called to ministry, it really brings the body together for that common function and common goal in the body of Christ. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So when everybody's operating in their gift, there's no need in the body of Christ. Absolutely no need that goes unfulfilled. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10, if you want to go over there with me, says, he that descended is the same that also ascended far above heavens, far above all heavens, that he may fill all things. Say all things. And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body. So God gave the fivefold ministry, or the ministry, for what purpose? For the equipping of the saints, for what? The work of the ministry. Can you say work of the ministry? So how many of you know there's work involved in the ministry? You know, some folks I know, they, you know, I had a man come up to me one time, and he said, you preachers got it made. Y'all just sitting, you know, behind a desk or in your office all day long, and you don't, you know, he was alluding to the fact that we don't do much of anything. I said, I'll tell you what, Terry. I said, any day you want to, I said, just come and join me for a day. I'll give you $100 if you still have the same view you have right now. You'll change it. You know, when Apostle and Pastor Jim and the rest of us, I know when Apostle goes on ministry trips, they're working. It's gospel labor. And God has given the ministry here for the equipping of the saints so that we can equip you, the body, for the work of ministry, to equip you, to give you something that's going to build you up and make you adequate for the area that God's called you to. Amen. There's the office of the evangelist and the necessity of each gift that God's put in the body of Christ. I'm going to touch on the area of the evangelist. You notice he said he gave some to be apostles, prophets, and then evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So the evangelist is kind of pushed right or placed right there in the middle It touches all aspects of the other areas, you know. And it brings, I believe, the as Pastor Jack brought in earlier, that the evangelist, he's able to bring people together and to connect people. And I do believe that that's one of the great functions in the office of evangelist, is to connect people to God, to reconcile people to God that don't know God, and then reconcile them to bring them into the body, assimilate them into the church as a functioning part of the church. And then that's where the rest of the fivefold ministry comes in, to build that person up in the body of Christ. Amen? But, you know, a lot today it seems like the office of evangelist and the area of evangelist, I think there's a lot of misconceptions. I shouldn't say just the evangelist. There's misconceptions on all the ministry gifts today. You know, what their functionality is in the body. And if we can understand the functionality of a particular gift, we can receive that gift better because we know what that gift is for. And we can put a better faith demand on that gift because we know what it's in our lives for. Are you with me here? You know, so if we know why a gift is there and what that gift is for, then it's easier to put a demand on it and come into that place expecting, especially if you're called to that particular area. I tell you, we are seeing it. I was thinking, as Pastor Jim was sharing and Pastor Jack, we're just seeing some exciting things in these days that we live in. Things that God has dropped in us years gone by, and visions and dreams in our destiny, and how God is just bringing all this together and far above all that we can dare ask or imagine. Amen. God is going beyond all that we dare ask or think. I'm telling you, I dare to ask. Do you dare ask today? Amen. We're daring to ask God for nations. We're daring to ask God for peoples. We're daring to go boldly where no man's gone before. Hallelujah. We want to bring the good news of the kingdom of God to the lost, wherever they may be and whomever they may be. It doesn't matter where they are or who they are. We're called to take the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God into people's lives. We're called as the body to do this. You know, Jesus said, go ye into all the world. And, you know, I mean, most of the church world's still looking for the Chinese evangelist. Name ye. That's who they're looking for. They're looking for, where's that Oriental guy named Yi? You know, he's got to be busy wherever he's at. I said that one time, and I had a guy in one of the classes I was teaching. He came up a couple weeks later, and he said his name was Alvin Young. He's from Malaysia. You remember him, Pastor? I think it was his sister's cousin played the keyboard. She's like a concert pianist with us for a while. But Alvin came up to me. He said, I found him. I said, you found who, Alvin? He said, I found ye. He's a student at UK. I thought, dear God, that man's got his work cut out for him, you know, because Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And so ye's a busy man. But most of the church world, that's who they're looking for. They're looking for, where is ye? Well, he's talking to us, isn't he? And particularly, we know that he's connecting that to the evangelist. Amen. And there's a difference in the office of the evangelist and the work of an evangelist. And many times we hear about the office of the evangelist, but there's also the work of the evangelist, that you may not be an evangelist, but be doing the work of an evangelist. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Now, Timothy was a pastor, senior pastor of a church, and he was not an evangelist. At least I can't find any place that he has really functioned in that office. But his father in the faith, he said, he told, in one of his writings in Timothy, he said, but you do the work of an evangelist. And so there is the office of the evangelist, and then there is the work of the evangelist. Does that make sense to you? And of course, the office of the evangelist will also incorporate the work of evangelists. You're not going to have the office of an evangelist without doing the work of an evangelist, although I've seen people try, you know, from time to time, you know, try to, you know, facilitate the office of an evangelist and have nothing to do with the working of an evangelist. But there is a functionality there. I like to think of the parts that we learn and we grow in, and the things God adds to us. It's kind of like a toolbox. And where God adds is He equips us for the equipping of the saints, for work of ministry. It's kind of like God has given you a toolbox, and He's given you tools to operate out of that toolbox. You take someone like A.A. Allen, healing evangelist, or Reinhard Bonnke, modern-day healing evangelist. And they go out and they're, you know, do mass crusades. And through Reinhard Bonnke, he's seen over 30 million people come to know Christ and sees miracles in his ministry. And we see other great, Teal Oswalt, another awesome, phenomenal evangelist, you know, manifesting the miracle working power of God in their ministry. And then we also see evangelists that they don't have a lot in their toolbox, but they're no doubt an evangelist. Amen. So they may come with the message of an evangelist, but not with they don't have a lot of tools in their toolbox. Like they may not have the tools for healing, the tools for miracles, the tools for signs and wonders. You understand? You know, so their toolbox is limited. Well, something I really love about our ministry and the well-rounded part of our ministry, I believe our toolbox is full or closed into being full. Amen. Thank God. And I so appreciate Apostle for the message that God has given him in the healing power and the apostolic anointing. And I tell you what, to be honest, I've never seen him this busy. I mean, he's busier than I've seen him busy, but he's busier, I think, than I've ever seen him before. I mean, just working and taking the gospel wherever doors are opening for us. And praise God, they're opening more and more all the time. Hallelujah. In John 3:16, does anyone know the scripture? Anybody ever heard this? For God so loved the world that He did something. He gave. That whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves the world. That's the extent God loves the world. It says He loved the world so much that He gave His best. Amen. And that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, we find out also, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and most people know verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting men's trespasses against them. And then He says, we beseech every one of you, be reconciled to God. And so that's God's heartbeat. We see here, we see in the ministry of Jesus, we see in the heart, and I believe this is threaded throughout all the fivefold ministry, the thread of reconciling people to God and reconciling people to one another. Amen. How many of you know we need to be reconciled to one another too? It's not just to God. You know, some people, they get reconciled to God and their mentality is, it's just me and God. Well, it's not just you and God. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. It's not just you and God. We need one another. And if we could do it on our own, we would not need one another, would we? That's why God's placed us all in the body as different parts, different areas of the body, so that we, working in our particular area and fulfilling our ministry gift, whatever it may be, whatever motivational gift you have, fulfilling that area, you are fulfilling part of the destiny of the body that you're a part of. You've got a part to play in that. Can I put it another way? The body is grossly limited. And even the ministry, we're grossly limited if you are not in joint. Are you with me? So when Apostle touched on this, I believe it was this last Sunday when he was ministering, about the necessity for intercessors when we're out ministering, when Apostle goes overseas or Pastor Jack or somebody's going overseas, or we're just down the street ministering. We covet your prayers. Amen. When Pastor Jack was in Ghana with Pastor Bob and Debbie, and Pastor Bob died. I know everybody heard of it, most people heard about that. He died on the mission field. And God had Pastor Jack and Pastor Debbie bring him back to life, called him back to life. I'm telling you what, thank God for the intercessors. Thank God for the people who have dedicated their life to ministry. If Pastor Jack didn't know what he knew, he couldn't have done what he did. Come on, church. If he didn't know what he knew, he couldn't have done what he did. T.L. Osborne said that years ago, and Pastor Callahan has quoted that so many times, if you know what I know, you can do what I do. And that's so true, isn't it? But they took authority over the spirit of death, and he came back to life. Thank God. Woo, glory to God. And Pastor Jack, later on, he was talking about when they approached him from Ghana, the ministers were approaching him. They said if Pastor Bob would not have been brought back to life, if they would not have brought him back to life, then their whole ministry there would have been discredited. There's power in intercession. There's power in intercession. I can't stress it enough to be on your knees. You know, I'm speaking, proverbially, but literally, you know, be in strong intercession for this ministry. Because that's what causes this church to move forward. Amen. I like what Ron Hart Bunkey said years ago. He said, intercession is the explosive, and evangelism is a detonator. That's true. I don't know, I hadn't even planned on touching on intercession like this, but it's going to come out. Pastor Jack was hitting on it earlier. When we got together, when we began, I remember when we were at First Assembly, he started intercession in the morning prayer, and I'm so thankful for that. Because not only did it instilled a discipline about intercession in our lives. We're already people of prayer, and we interceded, but the discipline about meeting together daily and interceding for the body of Christ, I believe, is a critical point in us reaching the masses. Can you say amen to that today? Do you believe that? I know you do. Amen. But that's a critical point in reaching the masses, reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's our aim, our heart, our endeavor, our spirit, is to not only reach people and bring in the masses through evangelism. And it starts one-on-one. They say T.L. Osborne has won more people on one-on-one evangelism. This was a number of years ago that they said this. In one-on-one evangelists than most of the Crusades combined. That's phenomenal. I mean, that's a lot of people. And I know he's won Many, many people. But most of the people, I can tell you for a fact that most of the people who are won to Christ are won by people like you on one-on-one evangelism. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Jack said we can minister out of the gift or minister about the gifts. I'm into both. Amen. Amen. Because it's a necessity that we understand. That's not just it's not just the ministry gifts and them doing a work and us not having a part to play in it. But as a body, we have such a part to play in the ministry gifts moving forward and doing what they're designed to do. And our prayers have a whole lot to do with that. Can you say amen to that? Amen, amen. Well, let's get into some things here. Romans 10:13, we all know this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, Jesus already gave us the commission. We are sent. Amen. But we've got to receive that personal sentness. Pardon the vernacular there. We've got to receive that personal direction. Many are called, but few are chosen. We have to receive that personal direction from the Spirit of God to go. We know to go generally, but the evangelist is called to go specifically into areas. We look at Philip the evangelist, the first person that was called the evangelist. The first time it's mentioned in the New Testament is with Philip the evangelist, one of the seven, in Acts chapter 6, who was called to the ministry. And they went into, I shouldn't say called a ministry, they're actually called to wait on tables. They're called to serve in the body. Can you say serve? As they were faithful serving, they pressed toward a higher calling. You understand, they didn't just stay in that area of mode, but they were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. That's a key factor, I believe, that should be in Christians today. Full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. And seeking after that, seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking to be filled with the wisdom of God. How many of you are seeking that? Amen? We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit constantly. That's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, be not drunken with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I meddle a little bit in the church world right now? There has been much move towards secularism in the church. What I mean by that, I mean you've got churches that, you know, they've got their one of their ministries is called a beer and Jesus. Okay, there's other churches. Pastor was showing me one about, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks ago about a church that's called the Bar Church. That's the name of the Bar Church, and come to find out, started doing research, and there's all kinds of those through America, and it's churches not. They're not just meeting bars. I've met in bars before. But we weren't partaking of anything they had. We were just using their facilities, you understand. But these churches are tapering down the gospel message. And it's almost like if you can't beat them, join them. Well, the fact is we can beat them. God would never deliver us from something that He would take us back into. I mean, I got delivered from alcohol and drugs and all that. You know, God's not going to put you back in that after He's delivered you out of it. That's not part of my message, but I thought I'd just meddle there for a second. Is that okay with you? Amen. Because we need to have a plumb line of what God expects in ministry and in life. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and we just read this, and God... And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us, say us, the ministry of reconciliation. What's that mean? God's bringing mankind near to Himself through us, the body, individually, collectively, and of course, the one of the spearhead ministries of that, of course, is the evangelist. To go out and to reconcile people to God. And to reconcile people to the church. I talked to a young man last night, and we're believing God for a bridge ministry that would connect people to the church from that are homeless and on the streets and things of that nature. And most of these people, you would bring them into church, and they just, you know, they wouldn't, it wouldn't stick. Because they have their own society. And that sounds weird, but homeless people have their own little society there, you understand? And in the city of Lexington, surrounding cities, there's 1,500 extreme homeless, 15,000 homeless, whether it's from living in a box or couch surfing. We believe in God to impact this and change this, and changes are happening in Lexington. Well, thank you for a couple of amens over there. Changes are, let me tell you, when it happens in Lexington, it's going to hit every city around here, I guarantee you, and it's happening. It's happening. I can tell you it's happening because I'm smack dab in the middle of it, and I've got God's just given us some wonderful people that have joined with us and teamed and partnered with us to make this thing happen. And I tell you, I am excited about what God's doing in our city. I'm excited about what he's doing in Lexington. I'm excited about what he's doing in the United States. And I'm excited about what he's doing all over the world. I mean, just through this ministry, man. Can you give him some praise right now for that? It's exciting. I want you to be excited about it. And yes, I want to pump you up. Amen. But in a good way. We want to keep you pumped up. Amen. We want to get you built up. We're not just to feel better, but to go out strong. Hallelujah. To go out built up and go out ready to change your city. Amen. That's what it's about. Changing. If you can reach your next door neighbor, if you can reach the person across the street from you, if you can reach that coworker, you have started that domino effect. Not only in that individual's life, but in the area you live in. If you don't like the atmosphere, go change it. Pastor Jim was talking about that earlier in authority. If you don't like it, then change it. If you don't like who's in power, vote them out. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. Amen. It's true anyway. Amen. Come on. So many people, they complain about who's in authority, and then they won't go vote. Amen. That's just goofy. So the challenge is reconciling the world to God and connecting them to the church. That's a challenge. It's a challenge reconciling people to God, firstly, but then you've got the challenge of reconciling them, plugging them into church. So in some people, it's even harder, like the demographic of the homeless that I was discussing earlier, that they have their own society, and you've got to go where they live. Because they won't come where you're at. We've seen that for years. And it puzzled me for years. I was like, what's going on here? I mean, we're going out. We're bringing people in. We're carrying them in. We're busing them in. What is going on? Why are we not? And the Lord just began to minister. Take it to where they're at. Bring it to where they are at. And then bridge the gap from where they are to where they need to be. So when they come in, they're ready to come in. They're not coming in saying, this didn't pertain to me. It doesn't make any sense. Now, I'm not saying nobody can come in otherwise, because we've seen people come in over the years. But I'm talking about the mass, the critical masses, you understand, that are in that certain demographic. And so we went, God opened the door for us to, at a day center, for us to begin this area of ministry. To reach out to these people. And as we were ministering last night, we just did a couple video clips of people's testimonies of coming out of drugs and things of that nature on video. And then I just shared a word, my testimony. And let me tell you, your testimony is so powerful. Did you know that? Your testimony can change somebody's life. People will argue religion all day long. But when you start talking your testimony and what God did in your life, they can't deny that. Nobody can offset that and say, that didn't happen. No, they're going to have to go home and look in the mirror sometime and recognize where they are honestly. And they'll see where they can acknowledge where God's brought you out of. God can do the same for them. While I'm sharing my testimony last night, there was a young man there that had a similar lifestyle, except he was still in it. And the whole time, I mean, I saw his hands in his head, and they asked me to come over and talk to him last night. He said, the whole time you were talking, he said, I saw my life. He said, I've been sitting here sobbing because that's my life. Well, he gave his life to the Lord last night. God changed his life, man, last night. And that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, even if it's just one person. You know, we were talking earlier how God sent Kenneth Copeland to Israel. And Denise was talking about it, how God sent Kenneth Copeland all the way over to Israel. I believe Pastor was talking about that the other day as well. Sent him all the way over to Israel. All the expenses of flying over there and everything for one lady. One lady. And Kenneth Copeland said, Lord, I've spent all this, and is it just for this one person? He said, she's my daughter. If you had a daughter over there, how would you treat her? How would you feel? And let me tell you, that daughter could be next door to you. God's wanting to change people's lives today. He wants to change cities. He wants to change whatever city you live in. And I believe He is changing, and He's making a change through us. Ooh, that's a good place for a shout, amen? He is. Can you say that with me? God is making a change through me because He's made a change in me. I'm change looking for a place to happen. Now give Him some praise for it. Amen. You are a change and a miracle looking for a place to manifest. You're healing, going out looking for a place to break loose. Your salvation, looking for a place to manifest at any given moment. You know, a lot of people, we want to work something up and say, well, let me go pray for us. You're too late. If you've got to get ready, you're too late. I'm talking about staying ready. I'm talking about a life that's on the cutting edge all the time, 24/7, 365. I get called 3 a.m. I don't care. I'm ready at 3 a.m. Instant, in season and out of season. I don't have to build myself up because I stay that way. Are you with me here today? You got to stay built up, stay filled up, stay on top of it. Going back, I believe that's why God is, you know, bringing out intercession earlier. Because it's about staying in that vein all the time. Pastor knows for sure. I've been called up many times in the middle of the night. I've been called up by church members when I pastored. And consequently, let me just throw something in here real quick. I believe that every pastor should spend a year or two in evangelism. And listen to me, I'm not done. And I believe everybody that's in evangelism should spend a couple years as a pastor. And the reason I say that, I've heard Kenneth Hagin say the same thing. Here's the reason I believe this. I believe that it balances your life out. Pastor Jack was bringing that out earlier in teaching. How if you got the prophet over here and he doesn't have the teacher with him, it throws him off balance. If you got the teacher without the other ministry gifts, it throws him off balance. But all together, we balance out one another. Amen? What was I talking about earlier? I just, you know, just threw that out there. And easy for you to say. Right. But there's something before that. Nobody, y'all weren't taking notes? I'm leaving, man. Forget. Be ready, yeah. Say, stay built up, stay ready, stay fired up. Somebody fired up just said that. Amen. I tell you what, I remember when Angelica, I got you right that time, didn't I? Angelica first first came in, and she was from she's from Romania. I was saying she was from, but she is from Romania. And God has just changed her life over the time she's been with us. And I know, I mean, just seeing her come in and be set free and filled with the Holy Spirit and get fired up, plugged into the Word, plugged into evangelism and starting to win the lost, you know, and see people's lives change, her life change. Amen? But that's what it's about. It's about carrying on and touching others the same way we've been touched. That's what we do. We go out and we look for people. We don't just, you know, for the average person in the body, if they come to you, you're reaching out. But evangelism goes out to them. It takes it to where they're at. Amen? And that's what it's all about. It's reaching beyond the four walls. Amen. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to take the gospel beyond the four walls of the church. That's what God wants us to do. To constantly carry it further, to take it further. When have you taken it too far? You never can. Until the world is won. You never. You know, as a pastor, people would come up to me and they'd say, well, how many people you got in the church? And I always felt funny when they'd ask me, how many people are in your church? Did that ever make you feel funny? I was like, I started wondering, why is this? I mean, it rubs me the wrong way when they're asking me. I was like, you know, where there's 20 or 30 or 50 or 100, I was like, but it wouldn't matter what state was in. It's just inside there was something that would gnaw at me when people would ask me that. And I thought it's just a matter of numbers, but I was like, okay, I've gotten over that. You know, glory to God. But I said, there's got to be, I said, what is this nagging at me? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, because it's never enough until everybody's won and everybody's plugged in. That's why. We've never got enough. That's why I do not have a small church mentality. Now, I thank God for the neighborhood church. They're critical. But even the neighborhood church and whatever church your pastor you're over or in or plugged into or you go to, we cannot have a small church mentality. Why? Because there's a world to be won. And until that world is won, until our neighborhoods are won, until we have stake claim to each and every person in our cities, in our neighborhoods, the people we work with, then it's not enough. It's not enough. Amen. I've touched on that. I've touched on that. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Discipling. Making disciples of all men. Can you say all men? In Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me, told Peter. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Mark 14:23, he said, go out and compel them to come in. You know that word compel? It means to grab somebody by their collar and compel them. I'm not saying we do that. And I'm not saying we've never done that. I was talking to a guy one time, and he was in one of these bus stop cubicles. And he was sitting there, and I walked on him. Walked up to him. And he and his girlfriend, the Lord just quickened to me that they were not in a relationship they should be. And I begin talking to her, and this guy was getting aggravated. He's getting mad. He's actually getting under conviction. And while he was sitting there, and I'm sharing, and he said, you need to get out of here. You need to go somewhere else. Well, it's a public place. I'm not going anywhere. And if you're going to talk negative stuff, then I demand equal airtime. I demand equal airtime. I mean, if people can sit there, get on the radio and talk all this garbage, and the church is supposed to be quiet or something, how about no? Let me think about no, no, no. I demand equal airtime. That's why the church has been sleeping for too long, especially in America. It's time to take our cities back. Amen. It's time to demand equal airtime in our government. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? But I continued, and the guy, his Tabasco was rising. He's getting mad, and he said, "You better get off here." And he had a few choice words for me. And he just kept on. He said, "If you don't get off here, then I'm going to," you know, and they threatened me. And naturally, I would just, you know, just kind of backed off and went on. But I looked at him, and I said, "Sir, my intention is not to make you angry today. But if making you angry gets you out of hell and into heaven, you're fixing to get really mad at me." And he totally, his countenance changed. The defense dropped off. He didn't have anything to say to it. He didn't get born again, but I tell you what, he left thinking. Amen. Now everybody will leave saved, you know. Praise God, I wish they would. And they may not leave saved, but they're going to leave. They should leave with a change of thought after they've talked to us. And I'll tell you what, we are invading the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a message that is changing lives. Amen. And that's, I believe that's what the evangelist, the evangelist is called to go out, to go boldly where no one's gone before, to see lives changed. Amen. And to reconcile people to God and reconcile those same people to the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Did you get anything today? Amen. God bless you.